Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I swear to you, I cannot figure out. Well, I did figure it out. You have to admit, I called this. I said the fact that we're seeing such aggressive rhetoric from Donald Trump means that there's actually no intention to turn this back into an active war situation. Clearly, there must be, I'm hoping, something else going on behind the scenes that is more important than responding to the attacks in the UAE. Why did Iran do this? That doesn't make any sense unless they were trying to provoke a confrontation. This conflict, I can tell you, is one that I have not understood the whole way through. It's just been very, very confusing for me. And as you know, I kind of follow it closely. But wow, it has perplexed me the whole way through. Well, which is why I want to speak to Gedalia Bloom. He's partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. He is the man behind the widely followed X account, Mossad IL. Gedalia, good morning. I'm hoping you're well.
Good morning. How's it going?
It is going well. For me, this is just all very, very confusing. And this whole Iranian conflict has been confusing the whole way through. And I get it. It's not about my understanding or our understanding. It's about what the outcome is. But it doesn't make it easy to be a commentator on this. Have you noticed, have you found the same thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you, I think the Iranian regime, who has been following through with the same framework of negotiations, deceptions, just complete, they've met their match with Donald Trump. Because as much as we try to guess what the Iranian regime is going to do next, I think they're also guessing what Trump is going to do next. We're guessing. I mean, this whole thing is extremely confusing. I think to anybody, there's no such person as an expert in this field. We're all students at this point, and we're kind of seeing what's happening. And you know, quite honestly, I don't think the Iranians really understand what's going to happen next, and I don't think Trump does. And I think we're all just kind of in the same boat.
Why do you think it was that Iran attacked the UAE 2 days in a row? It seems to be an odd strategy. If it is a strategy.
I mean, I think overall they understood, and we all understand that the blockade that's being done by the U.S. In the Strait of Hormuz has become a choking point for the regime.
Right.
And they needed to break up the status quo. Because they knew if they were just going to wait around, they were just going to starve and starve and starve. They needed to shake things up. And I don't think that they wanted to do it in a way that would challenge their own honor by going to the United States and saying, okay, we're ready to compromise on a number of these red lines of yours and we're able to actually have a proper agreement. I don't think they're ever going to do that. But I did think that they needed to change up the status quo. And I think that this was an easy way to do it, knowing full well that the UAE is weak militarily, and there wasn't going to be any real repercussions. Like if they were going to attack U.S. ships or they were going to attack Israel, we would have went full back into it. So I think they wanted to just kind of shake things up, change the status quo, and look what happened. It's exactly what happened. They changed the status quo, and there's, who knows what's going to happen next. At least the Iranian regime knows that there's some sort of chance to climb down this ladder.
The unspoken, the retrieving of the enriched uranium, to me, is probably the most crucial aspect of this particular conflict, and yet that doesn't seem to make headlines. That all seems to be subtext. is that the, would you agree that that's the priority? And do you think that Israel and the U.S. are focusing on that as the number one concern?
I mean, for me personally, following the ceasefire in June, that was one of the, you know, one of the focuses that I was making. I made a video about this, about where exactly is the 400 kilograms of highly enriched uranium that is enough to build, 10 nuclear weapons or at least dirty bombs if they can't find a way to deploy it. This has always been at the forefront. The Trump administration initially, if anybody remembers, talked about how they completely demolished their nuclear facilities, and that this 400 kilograms was actually buried in it and was achievable. So we're dealing with a changing narrative. Now it's okay. Now we know it's there. Now we want to dig up and get it. I think the overall strategy is not to make this as a big topic of conversation, because the more it becomes a topic of conversation, I think the more the Iranian regime is going to safeguard it. I think that the best bet is most likely going to happen is that there's going to be some sort of special operation, boots on the ground, that's going to secure the facility and try to locate it. But really, the problem is no one really exactly knows where it is. That's also a big issue. This is one of the big issues that should, that's probably keeping the intelligence agencies up at night.
It has to be. Obviously, for Donald Trump, he's got domestic concerns in terms of the price of oil, or that's what we're being told. Is this a major concern for him?
I mean, for sure it is, and I think that's why he's actually working on it. He got the UAE to leave, OPEC. The oil cartel. So hopefully, hopefully the UAE is going to be producing more oil at a lower price. U.S. Oil is.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Gedalia, let's just see if that is better. Say something smart. There we go.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Nope. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Loud and clear. Just going back to this this conflict with the UAE, could it be part of the, and I think your explanation, your comment that if the Iranians attacked either the U.S. directly in terms of ships or Israel, then they know that there would be this retaliation. UAE seems like a smart target given that. Could it also be because the UAE have exited OPEC and could be influencing the oil price?
No, I mean, they were the UAE has been the number one target from the Iranian regime from the beginning anyway, much more than Israel. Their exit from OPEC only occurred just about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're actually looking at more of a shift of that the UAE, after being attacked as the number one target, that their Arab brothers and sisters, their neighbors, didn't come to their rescue. And I think that probably had a lot to do with them leaving OPEC. Who wants to be business partners when everybody's watching as you're being targeted by, Iranian drones and ballistic missiles? And when the U.S. was the only one that was actually coming to their defense, not only that, but Israel actually sent over an Iron Dome battery to help protect them. So, I think strategically, I think we're seeing in the world right now, in a much bigger picture, we're seeing essentially World War III has already begun. It's not a full out war, but we're seeing the pieces align. We're seeing the North Korea, Russia, China, Iran. We saw Venezuela. Now they're no longer in the picture, and we're seeing a number of other countries that are kind of in the middle, whether it be India or South Africa. Even which side of the border are you gonna stand on? The side of Western civilization or the side that is looking to upend it, the coalition to upend it. So I think the UAE is actually aligning themselves away from the anti-Western coalition and is, hopefully, is going to be a litmus test for other nations to jump over and join, especially in face of the Iranian regime aggression.
What do we know about Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia is one of those Muslim countries that is reforming,
right?
Just like all the other Gulf states. But they're also dealing with a domestic problem of the jihad, that still exists. And I think that they're trying to find a way to balance domestic stability with still reforming, which is why there are open talks, not direct talks, but open talks with Israel. And they do want normalization, I think, overall, but they also see that the Palestinian issue is something that they don't want to circumvent because of domestic issues. But I don't think that, Mohammed bin Salman really cares at all about Palestinians. I think he cares more about his power, his stability in the country. It's a wait and see. I think Donald Trump could bring Saudi Arabia closer to the Western side. And, we saw this with his invite to the White House. So I think it's a work in progress. I think the Arab world worked very slow. But we're moving in that direction.
Which is a good thing. That is where we leave it. Gedalia Blum, thank you as always. Thank you for your constant insights and the work that you do in this space.